Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we learn fascinating facts about an ancient hill country as portrayed in Sangam literary work Natrine 185, penned by an anonymous poet. The verse is set in the mountainous landscape of Kurunji and speaks in the voice of the man to his friend, seeking his help to win the affection of the lady in his heart. ஆனான் ஓயோடு அழிபடர் கலங்கி காமம் கைமிக கையறு துயரம் காணவும் நல்காய் ஆயின் பாணர் பரிசில் பெற்ற விரி உலை நல்மான் கவிக்குழம்பு பொருத கல்மிசை சிறுநெறி இரவலர் மெலியாது ஏறும் பொறையன் உரைசால் உயர்வரை கொல்லிக் குடவையின் அகல் இலை காந்தல் அலங்குகுலை பாய்ந்து பறவை இழைத்த பல்கண் இரா அல் தேனுடை நெடுவரை தெய்வம் எழுதிய வினைமான் பாவை அந்நூல் கொலை சூழ்ந்தனலால் நோகோயானே. The poem starts with the tone of a patient relating symptoms to a physician as depicted by the words ஆனா நோயுடு, meaning unyielding disease. As we start to wonder which one of the plethora of diseases that we of the 21st century are well versed with, the healthy Sangam folks say nay. The only disease that seems to strike them is one of love, as illustrated by the phrase kamam kaimiha, meaning as passion exceeds. As we move along the verse, Viri Ulai Nalman brings before our eyes a horse with a thick mane. Porayan, a Chera king whom we have met in Natrine 18 and 8, makes an appearance in this verse too. These mountains welcome us with images of the Agal Ilai Kandal, meaning wide-leaved flame lily, and Palkan Iral, meaning many-eyed honeycomb, ending with a plea of suffering in the words Noho Yane. The verse beckons us to listen to the story of the man's woe. In his travels, the man had met a young girl in the mountain country and fell in love with her. He yearns to win the affections of the lady. This could be possible only with the approval and blessing of the lady's confidant. The man makes no headway in that endeavor. Disheartened, his demeanor changes. Noticing this, the man's friend chides him. The man says to his friend, "With this ceaseless illness, perpetuated by my boundless passion, I am rendered helpless with misery. Even after seeing this, you do not take pity on me. Fine horses with luxuriant manes, gifted to bards, leave the imprint of their split hooves on the narrow paths in the mountains. Following these tracks, suppliants climb with ease in the high Kolli hills, made famous by the generous king Porayan. On the western side of these Kolli hills, bees dive into the wide-leaved flame lily swaying flower clusters and carry the nectar to build many-eyed honeycombs high above. On this honey-filled tall mountain, there lives a woman akin to the statue of the Kolli goddess carved with skill. She intends to strike me with death. And yet, if you do not take pity and come to my aid, I can only blame my fate and suffer." With these words, the man subtly urges his friend to seek the confidant and thereby help the man win the heart of his lady to end the suffering he finds himself in. Now to unravel the hidden nuggets of history and mythology hiding in this verse. The man initially gives an accurate description of the pain he's in as his passion makes him helpless. He gives us to understand that the person he's seeking help from is not heeding to his heart. Then he describes a scene from that mountain land. He talks about bards winning prizes from a king. Unlike what we usually imagine, these prizes are not gold coins or precious gems. It's a horse with a rich mane. These horses make an imprint on the mountain path as the bard leaves from the king's court to his home. Anyone wishing to seek the grace of that king would follow the hoof prints of these horses Tracking these, other bards and suppliants without much discomfort to them would find themselves in the court of that generous king. And this king happens to be Poreyan, whose fame had spread all through the land. The man seems to be mentioning this scene only to describe the rich mountain country of the lady, but we can see the traces of a metaphor hiding within. The man is bidding his friend to aid in convincing the confidant so that, like those suppliants who follow the hoofprints of the prize horse, he too can unite with the lady easily. The man depicts the land with further details, saying buzzing bees gather nectar from the flower clusters of the flame lily, take the same high above to the upper ridges of the hills and build honeycombs there. This is to say, the lady's love, like those honeycombs, seems to be beyond the man's reach. After that detailed description of the mountain country, the man mentions the statue of a goddess made with much skill, to say that the lady was one with such beauty. On searching more, I learned that this is a reference to Kolli Pavai, or the Kolli goddess, who finds mention in Sangam texts and seems to have a long history. Myth says that the Kolli hills was the abode of many ascetics and saints. However, the richness of that mountain country seemed to attract the common people, and this continually disturbed those ascetics. So, they sought the help of a skilled sculptor who carved for them the statue of a goddess with such beauty that people who glanced at the statue seemed to lose their senses and forget their way. And this is the story of Kolli Pavai, who is worshipped till this day in some interior regions of the Tamil land. The man invokes the name of this goddess to say that his lady too had the same mesmerizing beauty, and decides, like that goddess, she too intends to strike him with death. The man ends by saying that if his friend does not come to his aid then, the only thing to be blamed would be his past sins, and he could do nothing but suffer. Thus the man intends to move his friend, and consequently the confidant, to help him win the affections of the lady. Curious indeed is the depiction of this ancient world, where the only threat to health and happiness seems to be unrequited love. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts, and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.